Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm filling in for the doctor on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. 855-400-SAVAGE. And the big news out today, oh, man, Obama's White House accused of getting questions from reporters early before the press briefing. Is it true? Maybe kind of, but you know what? That's not what you should really be worried about with this president, this press, and what he's doing with his time. We're going to tell you exactly what you should be worried about. And we got this facial recognition software that's out there. It's getting scary good, and it's getting scary good on things like Facebook and, of course, for our law enforcement. It even goes all the way to Leavenworth. Is that good or bad news for you and for the country? We'll get to the details. And before the hour's out, tornadoes at record lows 3 years in a row. I blame Al Gore. It's all coming up this hour of the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. 855-400-SAVAGE, and you can go online for a lot of the stories we're talking about at michaelsavage.com. All right, so this is the big story up on Drudge, and everybody's talking about it, and it's big. Weekly Standard has it, and now the Daily Mail has it, and it's all over the place, where a local reporter named Catherine Anaya in Phoenix, Arizona, KPHO, got her time at the White House. What they did was they brought in a lot of local affiliate anchors at the White House, trying to do a cattle call. Everybody gets 4 minutes with the president. Here we go. Let's go. Make sure you keep your questions professional. Make sure you come on now. Let's go, people. Move it. It's one of those deals, right? Everybody gets 4 minutes. And there was a behind the scenes, off the record report that was done, where all these local anchors could come in and talk with Jay Carney before they got to talk with the big man, before they got that meeting with the one. And it was supposed to be off the record. And what does off the record mean? Well, off the record means you don't report on it, right? You can use it for background. You're not allowed to really report what's going on. Well, either this reporter doesn't care or didn't know what off the record meant. So she's telling everybody. She said, you know, it was a very busy day. We started here shortly after 8 o'clock with a coffee with Press Secretary Jay Carney inside his office in the West Wing. An off the record interview. So we were able to ask him about how he does his prep, how he gets ready for the press briefings every day. And he showed us a very long list of items that he has to be well-versed on every single day. And then he mentioned that a lot of times, unless it's something breaking, the questions that the reporters actually ask, they are provided to him in advance. So then he knows what he's going to be answering. And sometimes those correspondents and reporters also have those answers printed in front of them, because, of course, it helps when they're producing their reports later on. So that was very interesting. And people went, what? Man, that's a cardinal rule from a reporter. You do not give them the questions early, because then they're able to go back and spin and come up with different lies about it and change things around. And you got to ask them. You got to be on the spot, and you got to see their reaction to it. You got to be able to have all that in there. Well, before everybody goes crazy, man, if this was the worst thing that this White House did with the press and with being transparent and open and talking to the people, I would be doing cartwheels down the hallway. This is nothing, man. This is nothing. This is, and plus, of course, Jay Carney, the White House spokesman, immediately tweets out, briefings would be a lot easier if this were true! Exclamation mark. Rest assured, it is not! So he's denying it from day one. But I'm sure it's something in the middle here. Look, I guarantee you reporters email questions to the White House press room, because some of these things, they want them to go look up and get the data. You know, if they have a question that's kind of intricate or complex, Jay Carney's not going to have the answer like that at the podium, even if he wants to. So they send him some emails, and he comes back, he prints him some stuff out, whatever, he has his underlings go do all that. I'm sure that's true. That probably is true. But I'm sure they also have new questions that they didn't prep him with, and they have follow-ups to the questions that they didn't prep him with. You can tell by watching the press briefings. I mean, and here, look, there's no doubt a lot of these reporters are so far in the tank to Obama they couldn't swim out if you threw them a line. There's no doubt at all. But you're telling me that if reporters weren't ever allowed to ask questions that they hadn't sent to them in advance, that somebody wouldn't have leaked it way before now? I mean, there are reporters there that aren't super friendly with the White House in that briefing room. And even the ones who are wouldn't like that. Reporters don't like that. And even if they were afraid of saying it with their name behind it because the White House might get mad at them, they know how to leak stuff too. So that I think that's a little overblown, and I think it's a little ridiculous. What is funny, though, along with this idea of putting out your questions in advance, is that when they brought in this cattle call, these local people, they told them, you get 4 minutes. You get 4 minutes with the president. That's all. They didn't even let him sit down. They had to stand up to interview the president. The president stood up, and this same anchor was telling her co-anchor back in Phoenix, the reason why we're standing, I was told by one of his staffers, is because he likes to get comfortable when he's sitting, and he tends to get very chatty. No! This president, chatty? Come on! I've never seen him be chatty. I mean, this guy, he answers a question like this, and we're moving on to the next one. This guy's the biggest filibuster I've ever seen. It's very difficult to get a word in edgewise with this guy. He can answer one question and take up 10 minutes. So, yeah, he gets chatty. There's no doubt about it. But, and you know, but what normally happens on these kind of things is the aide will be behind the, quote, important person, whether you're interviewing a senator or a congressman or the president. I've never interviewed the president, but congressmen and senators, and the aide will be back there. And there's two reasons the aide will come forward. Either you're really getting under the skin of the official and you're getting some good dirt that's going to be trouble and breaking news, and then the aide comes in and goes, I think we're done here, Senator. I think we're done. Senator, we have that thing. Senator, we have to go now. You have one of those deals. Or you really have gone over your time and there's more people around, and the aide very gently leans forward to the senator or the congressman, or in this case the president, says, excuse me, Mr. President, her time is up. We really have to let these other reporters have their time. That's the way you would do it. No, now they're standing behind them. They got a countdown clock. They got a four-minute countdown clock. And the guy's just standing over there hovering, trying to intimidate these people. You know why? And you know what that says? You know why that's a big deal? It says it's basically the White House telling these local reporters, you're not important. And this White House has basically told reporters, you're not important. And we will say what we want to say. We'll give out the information we want to give out. If we don't want to talk to you, we won't talk with you. If we don't want to allow you to have a real press photographer photographing press events, we won't let you. Oh, yeah. See, now, here's where you got to get worried. Here's where it should really start to matter. That's what they're doing. They're not allowing a reporter to even travel with Michelle Obama on her trip to China, even though it's an official trip. No reporters traveling, no interviews while she's in China. The AP photographers have been out complaining about this on the access that they're getting. They're continuing to say, we're losing access to the White House, and once that's cut, quote, we'll never get it back. At the Newspaper Association of America's Media Exchange Convention in Denver, the AP White House photographer, Charles Darapak, said instead of letting reporters and photographers in at major news events, like his meeting with the Dalai Lama, they issue virtual press releases on social media instead and use the official White House photographer. Now, why should you care? Because it lets them shape the image of the president. It lets them keep out the awkward stuff, the embarrassing stuff, the mistakes that he makes, the questions that need to be answered, the photos that need to be shown, the stuff that you have the right to know because this is your government, not his. This is your country, not just the president's country. We are a nation that supposedly is represented in our government. We fought a war against the king, and now we've got an emperor. This is what you should be more concerned about, whether or not Jay Carney gets a question early or not. I mean, and then you look at what's happened to the press, and they're toadies to this guy. Why do you think Cheryl Atkinson, the only one over at CBS that seems to be worth a damn, left CBS when she told Politico, because you know she couldn't get her kind of stories on the air anymore. She said there was a liberal bias at CBS when she's covering Benghazi and Fast and Furious and all these scandals on the White House, and she's actually asking tough questions. One of the few reporters from the mainstream media willing to do it and do the digging and do the reporting necessary to really tell you what's going on with these scandals. She could barely get her stories on the air. She had people from the White House calling her and screaming at her on the phone. She believes that her computer was tampered with, and she thinks it was probably somebody in the government who did it. And she said, that's it, I'm done. She's got her own website up and running now, by the way, that has all of her reporting on Benghazi and Fast and Furious that you can go to, CherylAtkinson.com. And she says she's going to build on that. And I'm sure she'll be, get picked up by somebody else, too. Wouldn't be surprised if you don't see her at Fox pretty soon. But that's the guy, this is the stuff you should care about. And then you figure out, okay, well, Obama only has 4 minutes for these reporters. And Obama doesn't do big press conferences. I mean, every once in a while he'll come out and make a statement. But he's not, you know, he doesn't have time to answer questions from these reporters, who, of course, are our link to actually getting questions asked of the president. No, he's busy because it's March Madness, baby! Come on, let's change the PTP-er! He can fill it up! Let's look at the freshman diaper dandies! It's one of those days, right? So we've got to go on ESPN. The president of the United States of America, he doesn't have time to meet with these reporters. He sent Joe Biden over to Russia to handle the problem because, you know, that's beneath him. And but he does have time for ESPN. Let's hear cut one here.
President, you can't watch all the play-in games due to a fairly frenetic schedule. How much do you pick games in college basketball based on coaches and what you know about them?
A considerable amount. You know, partly because with so many freshmen and sophomores leaving early.
Yes.
You don't end up having the kind of consistency that you had back when North Carolina had Jordan and Perkins and just a slew of stars that you were going to get to know over time.
Right. And he's got a frenetic pace. I mean, you heard that. A frenetic pace. But he's got time to fill out his bracket on TV, an interview with ESPN. Listen, there's an article up, 99U.com, by Sean Balda. I think that's his name. Hold on a second. I think I pulled it up here a second ago. Let me make sure I got the guy's name right. Yeah, Sean Blanda. And in it, he compiles, and this is, by the way, supposed to be a glowing article about President Obama. And he takes you through how Obama gets things done. And you really get into his daily schedule. He gets up at 7. Wait, what? 7? He's the most powerful man in the free world, and he's getting up at 7? Are you kidding? I get up at 2:50 in the morning getting ready for my morning show, and I'm just a peon radio host. He gets up at 7? And, well, he gets up at 7, and then he works out. All right, fine, I give him a workout, that's fine. And then, he does some work. He doesn't watch news or read the news, though, because he filters the news, because he doesn't need all those different people trying to tell him what to do. So, he watches SportsCenter, and he argues about that, he says. And, he has to worry about things like decision fatigue.
What?
Yeah, decision fatigue, too many decisions. So he has to worry about that. Listen to this quote from Obama. I don't want to make decisions about what I'm eating or wearing because I have too many other decisions to make. Oh, yes. Picking out your clothes and what you're going to eat. I mean, that takes up too many brain cells for this man. He's got to be careful. There's only so many decisions he can make. So they give him decision memos where they've written out what they think the decision should be. And then he checks a box. Yes, no, or let's discuss. That's how he does his decision-making process. Are you kidding me? And, of course, his personal time is sacred. He says, there's certain things. I got to block out certain time here. Time at my gym, time to eat dinner with the family, and then, time after the girls go to sleep. That's my time, too. Between that, being on ESPN, meeting with Zach Galifianakis between two ferns, talking with Justin Bieber. What's up, Biebs? Talking with Ryan Seacrest about mom jeans. Having Jay-Z and Beyonce over, when is there time to do what he's supposed to do? But you know what? Okay, hold on. A couple things. Maybe this is good. The more we can keep him away from actually doing something to the country, the better. And, when you look at what this guy has or has not accomplished and how easy it seems that this job is, if you can act like this and do it, even though you're doing it poorly, then, hey, maybe he has really proven something that we've always said is great about America. Anybody can be president. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. I got a little bit more from Obama and the ESPN interview that you've got to hear. Take your phone calls, too. My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Hey.
I do not watch as many college basketball games as I did when I was in college.
Yeah. Now, your brother-in-law coaches Oregon State, Craig Robinson. They beat UCLA. Was he in your ear promoting the Pac-12?
You know, I have been burned in the past by not giving the Pac-12 enough credit. I think they have gotten better and better.
That's your president. He doesn't watch as much now as he used to. Oh, no, he's cut way back. You know, I bet you he's sitting on his couch right now watching March Madness. I'm just taking a guess. But this guy, well, you hear him breaking down the bracket on ESPN. He knows more about basketball than half the coaches. I mean, I'm telling you, this guy's watching a lot of basketball, or else he got a briefing before he did the ESPN interview, which is also ridiculous that the president of the free world would be getting a briefing on basketball while we've got what's going on in Russia and what we've got going on here in the United States of America with all the problems that we have. This, you know what? You know, here I am. I'm guest hosting for Michael. I appreciate big time that he likes to have me come in and do the show. I gave up my time for March Madness today because, hey, I want to do the show. Now, I love March Madness, and I played basketball in high school, and I almost never break down and stop working to do something like this. But this is like my day. All right, I'm going to watch the first round. This is awesome. I said, hey, Michael asked if I could do the show. I'm going to do the show. But here's the thing. I'm not asking for any kind of sympathy from you. What I'm trying to do is say, I bet you're the same way. That you are working hard right now, and you're trying to balance your time between work, your spouse, your children, maybe your church, maybe volunteer work, maybe all the different things that you do, that you're trying to balance time and maybe squeeze in a basketball game, and this guy is the president of the United States of freaking America, and he's got time to watch March Madness, go on ESPN, hang out with the celebrities, give speeches, have big dinners with Jay-Z and Beyonce. I don't get it. Well, it's good to be the king, right? I'm going to get all your phone calls. Hang with me. We'll hit that in just a second. Stay tuned. My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
So you're going to take us from the Sweet 16 in.
All right.
So let's start with the South bracket. The number one seed overall, the Florida Gators.
You know, and the Gators are well-balanced, great defense, great offense. They play hard. Donovan knows what he's doing. I think they'll end up winning.
Yeah. And later on, he breaks down and calls out the players' names. And, I mean, hey, the president is really up on his college basketball. World affairs? Not so much. Economy here in America? Well, he's trying. Obamacare? Pfft, don't go there. Oh, but I've got down my bracket, baby. You know what we needed Obama to do? He should have entered his bracket in Warren Buffett's $1 billion challenge, and then he could have reduced the deficit by $1 billion if he won. Now, that would have been worth it. I'd be all for it at that point. My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-SAVAGE or michaelsavage.com. Did you know that Warren Buffett's giving away $1 billion if you get a perfect bracket? It's like a one in tranquillion dillion to zero chance of winning it. But, hey, you know, somebody's going to win. No, nobody will. No, they won't. Let me start with Teresa, WVNN. Teresa, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Filling in. Go right ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I'm super excited to actually get through to the show. I wanted to say that I'm 22 years old. I'm a single mom. I'm going to school full time. I have a job, and I'm constantly busy doing stuff, you know, between my daughter and my family. You know, I wake up at 6 in the morning, and I go to bed at 1 or 2. And to hear that my president, you know, the president of the United States, has a list that's like, yes, no, let's discuss about, like, what food he's going to eat, what he's going to wear. I mean, that's ridiculous. And just, you know, with everything that's been going on with Russia and Obamacare, and, I mean, I don't know what's going on with college basketball, like...
No, Teresa, you're speaking for so many people, and God bless you for how hard you're working to try to get your life moving in the right direction. But, you know, the problem is you haven't done enough to get yourself your own personal decision maker and have somebody make all these little check boxes, and you can't demand that you keep certain times sacred. You actually have to work for a living and get things done and find time for your daughter and everything else. And, yeah, I understand exactly where you're coming from, Teresa, and I'm just as outraged as you are about it. And I think, you know, it's amazing to me that more Americans aren't. Remember how the press went after George W. Bush because he used to go on bike rides every day and go to bed at 10 o'clock? Yeah, but he woke up at 5. I mean, he was actually, he had meetings at 6:45 in the office. I'm not saying George W. Bush was awesome. There are a lot of problems I have with George W. Bush. Wasn't nearly conservative enough for me. And I don't think ran the wars the way I would have if you were going to get in there. But, you know, at least this dude was actually working. Holy cow. Let me get Rob in, WABC. Rob, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp for the Doctor. Go right ahead.
Hey, Greg. Hey,
go right ahead.
My comment is that it's kind of, you know, scary that, you know, United States and Russia, between the two countries, there's thousands of nuclear missiles involved. And our president, who's supposed to be leading us through the situation, you know, is just not focused. He's paying attention to basketball. It's just kind of scary.
Well, it makes you wonder... It does make you wonder what kind of message Vladimir Putin's receiving from that, right? On the one hand, he talks about how important this is, and it's a very big deal. And he sends over Joe Biden to talk to the Poles and sanctions 7 people. Oh, wait, he's got more. He's doing more today. We'll get to that a little bit later. But and then he's got time for his bracket to be filled out, and he's meeting with the celebrities and Zach Galifianakis and everybody else. Yeah, it definitely sends a very strange message. Mike, WJR wants to jump in. Michelle Obama going to China but not allowing any press coverage of it or any interviews. Mike, what do you think?
Hey, Greg, it's not what I think, it's what I know. I'm just a messenger. And from Dr. James Garrow's lips to the ears of the Savage Nation listeners. Dr. Garrow runs about 200 schools in China that are for their political elite. The Obama family is over there now interviewing Dr. Garrow's schools to see which of those schools they will send the two daughters to as exchange-type students so that they can then be further indoctrinated into the world political elite class.
That's interesting. Thanks for the call. I haven't heard about that. That'd be something interesting to follow. So I really can't comment on it because I don't know enough about that, and I don't want to say something that is uninformed. Let me get Ralph in WABC. Ralph, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knappin for the Doctor. Go right ahead.
Greg, good to speak to you. The first time we elected a rock star because he was supposed to take us to the promised land. The second time, he gave away so many freebies that, and the voter turnout was so low that he's in again. So we've gotten what we've voted for. We've gotten what we expected. I can't see you expecting anything more. You know, the office itself, Greg, I would argue, is antiquated. The fact that we look up to this one person for all the answers. It's a terrible reflection on America today because we have lacked individualism for so long, Greg. It's pathetic. Now this,
you know what? Hold on, because I think you're making a great point here, Ralph, and here's where I would disagree with you. The office is not antiquated. What we have done is change what the office is supposed to be in the view of the average American, and we're not teaching our kids what this office is supposed to be. This office is not supposed to be the fount of all knowledge and the solution to all problems, as you're talking about, Ralph, right? All it was supposed to be was this guy was the guy that the majority elected, so he's going to be like the last stopgap on a really bad law unless he can be overturned, and he's going to be the guy that's supposed to actually execute the laws. He's just one part of 3 co-equal branches, but yet we've turned him into the emperor, right? I mean...
Greg, when he's on shows like these comedians and whatnot, he lowers the office to the point where I look at it and I look at it for 1 minute just to check in. I have to turn the TV off. I'm just demoralized by the whole
thing. I understand. I totally understand. Thanks for the call. And, you know, here's the thing on the whole comedian thing and going on YouTube with Galifianakis. Thank you. Come on. He's the dude from the Hangover movies. I mean, think about that's not even the worst. He goes and has the so-called digital influencers to the White House to help push Obamacare. They're, quote, YouTube stars. Now, I don't think you can really be a YouTube star. What are you talking about, a YouTube star? You're on the web. Well, that's what the kids are watching today, Greg. Some of these people have over 1 million hits. I mean, that's bigger than a lot of these shows. All right, guess who one of his digital influencers was? This Hannah person, she is known for her drunk kitchen series. Literally, she gets drunk and cooks stuff on YouTube. That's her bit. So Obama had her in and asked her advice on Obamacare. I can't make this stuff up. That's what this guy does. Well, it diminishes the dignity of the presidency. I don't think you can. Too late. I think it's already gone so far. You can't diminish it any further than it's been diminished. And I'll tell you, on the other hand, here's what you got to hand it to him. That's how a lot of the younger generation is getting its news, getting its information, getting its entertainment, and he's reaching out to that constituency. I don't think he cares if you think it's bad because you don't vote for him anyway. He doesn't care if I think it's bad. I didn't vote for it anyway. He's trying to reach out to people he thinks he can actually influence, and that's probably the way to do it. And by showing that he's hip, man, he's cool, he's funny, he can knock it around with Zach Galifianakis, man. He could be out there shooting ball with Kobe. Hey, Kobe was on with the Dan Patrick Show and said Obama could probably make the Lakers. Well, you know, the Lakers, I could probably make the Lakers right now. Have you seen them lately? You know, not so great. But, you know, you get my point. This guy's cool, man. He's hip. He's into it. So who cares if you like him? You're actually worried about stuff you should be worried about, and he's not. Let me get Blake in, KBOI. Blake, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for Savage. Go right ahead.
How you doing, Greg?
Doing well, sir.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, I'm ex-Special Forces in the Navy, and I'm almost embarrassed to even say I ever fought for this country based on Fast and Furious, Benghazi, the NSA, Obamacare, you name it. Why this man is still in office almost makes me ashamed to say I'm American.
Yeah, I understand the feeling. Don't give up on the country. You know, this is my thing. I will never go short on America. I will always bet long on America because there is still something about the founding principles of this country that matter. That's the American exceptionalism. The founding principles in the Declaration, in the Constitution and Bill of Rights. That's the American exceptionalism. And as long as those are still alive, this country will succeed and our best days could still be in front of us. Look, we're a 50-50 nation. This guy barely got elected the first time, barely got elected the second time. And I think mostly because there's a lot of people who really don't know what's going on, that are not engaged. And yes, that's troubling about the country. But that can be fixed. And as long as we still have those principles that these are the rights that you were endowed with by your creator, that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that this is a government of, by, and for the people, that we have these rights that government didn't give you, no man gave them to you, no king gave them to you, no Obama gave them to you, so none of those can take them away from you. And as long as we truly live that out, then we got a chance. We got a chance. Donna, WMAL, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. In for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Hi, Greg. What I find so disconcerting about all this is just like the plane, we have an administration who is basically missing in action. And I find it so infuriating because we've got all this nonsense going on with the lack of intelligence on the part of those individuals to deal with Putin and everything else. All the while, we've got a giant bullseye painted on our country, and I keep waiting for people that that are in higher places to take the initiative, to take the lead, because we're all, I think there are plenty of us out there waiting to restore liberty.
That's a great, great point. Missing in action like the plane. I like it. Thanks for the call. On jobs, unemployment numbers, missing in action. On our economy really recovering, missing in action. On world affairs, missing in action. I mean, you go right down the list, and it's why he's got the lowest approval numbers he's ever had. But it's, you know, hey, that's also why you got to hide things. From the Washington Examiner, they were pointing out that the White House has rewritten some of the Freedom of Information Act. See, there's a law that says federal agencies have to answer Freedom of Information Act requests within 20 days. But, White House counsel Greg Craig wrote a memo in 2009. And the Washington Examiner is reporting that this group called Cause of Action, nonprofit watchdog group, found out that they have changed it. They rewrote the law on their own, again, going around Congress. What a shocker. And said, well, if we believe that the requests are about White House equities, then we get to review all the requests first, and we get to decide how long these reviews will take, and then we get to decide if we will release this stuff under the Freedom of Information Act law, which essentially means they don't have to release it at all. Cause of Action pointed out one case. L.A. Times reporter asked for something from the Department of Interior, communications between the White House and Interior officials. It was delayed at least 2 years by the so-called equities review. It's supposed to be 20 days. But hey, what you should really worry about is that the reporters might ask Jay Carney the questions in advance. 855-400-SAVAGE, get you on board the program. 855-400-SAVAGE. This facial recognition software stuff, oh man, it is getting scary good. Is it good or bad for you and the country? We're going to hit that in just a second. My name's Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for the Savage Nation. Dr. Savage out, and it's 855-400-SAVAGE for you to get on board. Well, facial recognition software is getting so good, it's a little bit scary. Now it's being reported, this is myfoxdc.com, that if you as a human being are asked to look at two unfamiliar photos and say, is it the same person or not, you'll be right about 97.53% of the time. That's how good we are at recognizing faces. Well, Facebook now has developed some software, facial recognition software, and the software is right 97.25% of the time. Virtually as good as you are at recognizing faces that it's never seen before. And what does that mean, and why do you care? Well, by the way, they call this deep learning software. Pretty crazy stuff. Well, how about you get Google Glass hooked up to Facebook and this new deal? And you're walking around, and every person you see, the software can then do a little quick check, check all the social media sites on the internet, match up the person's face, put up in front of you who the person is, a bio about them, what they like, stuff about their family, their name, their hometown, all kinds of stuff that you can have right in front of you on Google Glass as you're walking down the street or meeting somebody in a bar for the first time. Oh, and also maybe if they've ever been convicted of a crime before. Or also maybe if they own a gun. Or also maybe what some of their medical problems might be. I mean, who knows how far this thing can go with all the stuff that you have out there about you on the internet that you might not even know that's out there about you on the internet. And you want to know how far facial recognition can go? Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, right? That's where the military puts its most dangerous prisoners. Well, in 1977, one of them escaped. James Robert Jones. He's been gone, missing since then. They found him. They just found him and arrested him and just took him back to Leavenworth. And they did it with facial recognition software, where they used his photo from 1977. And they found him with a fake driver's license that he got a few years ago in Florida. Wow. That's some pretty crazy stuff. My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage, and this is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for the doctor on the Savage Nation, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE, or michaelsavage.com. Well, the states actually won one in federal court yesterday. It has to do with protecting the vote and states' rights. I'll get you the details on it in just a little bit. And, hey, after 9/11, you know, the new World Trade Center building they're constructing, I mean, I'm sure that's super secure, right? Right? Well, wait till you hear the latest on that. And also what one crazy dude in the airport did. Before the hour's out, Al-Qaeda has their new spring edition of their Inspire magazine out. Guess what they want you to do? It's all coming up this hour of the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on. 855-400-SAVAGE. So Kansas and Arizona, both are trying to make their voting more secure. Both have had problems with people who are not citizens voting. And right there in the border of Kansas and Missouri, they had a Democratic primary that was decided by one vote. Not making this up. One vote. And they had 50 Somalian immigrants who were not U.S. citizens who voted in that election. But oh, no, no, voter fraud never happens. No, it's not. They also had people on the local news there who admitted that they voted out of district because they just liked the guy. No, voting fraud never happens. It's all made up. It's just those evil Republicans trying to suppress the vote. But wait a second. In every state that has put in voter photo ID, they have had minority vote increase. Huh. How about that? You don't hear that much on the mainstream news, do you? No, there hasn't been a suppression of the vote. And the idea that somehow it hurts minorities when you make people have an ID to vote, doesn't make any sense. Why is it racist to want people to show who they are to vote? I guess car rental agencies are racist, and bartenders are racist, and hotel room clerks are racist, and every place you go to do anything, the bank teller's racist. Everywhere you go that has to see a photo ID, they're all racist because they're all against the minority. It's sheer nonsense. It's simple. There's one reason that the Democrats don't want photo ID at the polls. They know the voter fraud helps them more than it helps the other side. And they want the voter fraud because it helps them. Period. That's it. So Kansas and Arizona said, all right, we've got some problems here. Arizona especially, I'm sure, with some legal and illegal immigrants trying to vote. So they said, what we're going to do, since the states have the rights to run their elections, the Constitution says so, we're going to decide what you have to show in order to vote. And what we're going to do is say you have to prove that you're a United States citizen when you register to vote in our states. And oh, man, the lefties went nuts. What? How dare you? How in the world are they supposed to prove that? Well, there's this thing called a birth certificate. Oh, back to the birth certificate again with you guys. You got some kind of an obsession about the birth certificate. Well, it's kind of an important thing. It shows where you were born. And, it, you know, that helps a lot. Or you can have a passport, you know, that shows. I mean, there's ways that you can show it. They have a whole list of ways you can do it. And they even help you get the documentation. I know in Kansas they said you could even text in, fax in, email in your documentation, all kinds of ways that you can do this. And by the way, if you can't find your documentation, you can even have a close relative come down with you and you both swear out an affidavit that you are a U.S. citizen. Even that will work. All right, so there's all kinds of ways to get this done. No, No, you guys are just trying to suppress the vote. And there's thousands of people who haven't been able to fully register yet. We'll bring them forward during this case, and we'll see what's going on. Well, we can't get anybody. What do you mean? They couldn't find one person, not one, to go into the courtroom with them and say they have been denied the right to register to vote, even though they're a U.S. citizen. They couldn't find one. And yet they're still trying to claim that this is horrible discrimination. Well, the U.S. District Judge Eric Melgren ordered the Election Assistance Commission to immediately modify the federal voter registration for the Kansas and Arizona state registration to include proof of citizenship. You know what it was before this? And what it is still in most states? If you are a legal immigrant, now remember, even as a legal immigrant, you're not supposed to vote. You're not allowed to vote in a federal election unless you're a United States citizen. You're not allowed to vote in most state elections unless you're a United States citizen. I'm pretty sure actually all 50 states, or in Obama's case, maybe all 57, 58. But I think there are some cities now that are allowing legal residents who are not citizens to vote on local elections, which I think is ridiculous, but they're letting them do it. But you're not supposed to vote in a federal election unless you're a United States citizen. But when you go to get your driver's license, you're asked, motor voter ID, would you like to register to vote? Yes, I would. Are you a United States citizen? Yes, I am. Well, there you go. That's it. No proof required. That's all you got to do. And guess what? It means that there are a lot of people who are registered to vote who aren't supposed to. Oh, no. That's a made-up problem. It's never happened. We'll get to that in a minute. So this U.S. District Judge said, yeah. In his ruling, he said, because Congress had not outlawed proof of citizenship demands by states, this election commission did not have the right to prevent Arizona and Kansas from adding those requirements to the voter registration forms. The court finds the decision of the EAC denying the state's request to be unlawful and in excess of its statutory authority. So they ordered the commission to immediately add the documentation requirement to the mail-in voter registration forms, and the federal form now must show that. Good. States' rights. You got to remember, you go back to the founding of this nation, and the founders were very much against a centralized government. In fact, before we had the U.S. Constitution, we had the Articles of Confederation, if you remember, and the federal government was tiny, very limited power. In fact, it was so limited in power that they decided they got to give it a little bit more power because the new states were putting tariffs on each other, and it was hard for interstate commerce, and we didn't have a federal navy. We didn't have there's certain things they said, you know what, I guess we need a little bit more. So they came together for the Constitution, but they were still very worried and leery of a centralized, powerful government. And it's why they enumerated the powers in the Constitution that were for the federal government and said everything else is left to the people in the states. Everything else. Now we've like almost totally reversed that today. But thankfully, there's a few judges that seem to still get it. Well, like I said, you get these crazy people. Like the League of Women Voters said, oh, this ruling is harsh. This decision is so broad, it would allow a state to implement almost any restriction on voter registration. What a total lie. No, it won't. The states cannot do things that are unconstitutional. The state could not say, all right, women can't vote anymore. No, they couldn't do that. All right, only black people can vote. All right, only white people can vote. All right, no, they're not going to be able to do any of that. It's nonsense. This is a common sense law, isn't it? You're supposed to be a United States citizen to vote, so you need to prove you're a United States citizen to vote. Why in the world would anybody be against that? And you know what? Here's the kicker. When you survey Americans, every demographic you can come up with, young, old, men, women, black, white, they all agree, a majority of each demographic says it makes sense to have a photo voter ID. But no, 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 you get people like Daniel Ortega, Arizona civil rights attorney, activist. He hopes the ruling will be overturned on appeal. He says, what you have are Republican legislators across this country throwing up barriers to fix a problem that just does not exist. We don't need to be keeping people from voting, particularly people of color. Okay, wait a second. Why particularly people of color? Shouldn't we shouldn't be keeping anybody who legally should vote from voting, right? That's not a good message to be sending. Listen, this is what these people on the far left leave out. They say everyone should be voting. No, everyone shouldn't be voting. Everyone legal should be voting. And everybody should, who is legal should vote one time, because otherwise you're taking away somebody else's vote. You know, stopping somebody from voting is bad. Just as bad as canceling their vote by voting more than once or allowing somebody who's not supposed to vote. That's just as bad, because that cancels out my vote. And but it never happens, right? It's just made up. Guy Benson has a great piece at townhall.com today. And he said, you know what? There's this guy at an NBC local affiliate in Fort Myers, Florida. His name is Andy Pierotti. And he got on this investigative track to try to find illegal voters in his neck of the woods. And he was able to do it. Here's how he did it. He said, you know, we don't know how widespread this problem is. Elections officials don't keep track of where non-citizens live. So we decided to do something they've never tried to do. Find them. And here's what they did. They looked at state forms where residents had declined jury duty. And one of the ways you can do that, decline jury duty, is by checking a box that says, I'm not a U.S. citizen. Because remember, you're supposed to only do jury duty if you're registered to vote. And you're only supposed to be registered to vote if you're a United States citizen, right? So on the box that says, are you a United States citizen, they check no. And what they did, this guy at this NBC affiliate in Fort Myers, Florida, cross-checked all those no's with the voter registration rolls in town. Guess what? They found quite a few people who said they were not a resident, not a citizen, but were registered to vote. And guess what else he found? He then went and checked the voting logs to see if they had voted. Remember, they keep track of whether you show up and vote. They don't keep track of who you vote for. It's a secret ballot. But they keep track of whether you voted. He found out that these people that had said they were not U.S. citizens had voted. 94 of them. So then he went down and tracked them down and knocked on their door. Hello, I'm from NBC. I was just wondering, you wrote down here that you're not a U.S. citizen. Are you a U.S. citizen? No. But you voted in the last election. Yeah. Did you realize you're not supposed to do that? Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that. Did you know that you're not even supposed to be registered unless you're a U.S. citizen? No, I didn't know that. How did you register? Oh, when I got my driver's license. 94 of them. Now, that doesn't sound like a very big number. But that was just in his little quick check in his county. There are 67 counties in Florida. If you extrapolate that out for the different populations, and Guy Benson did this, if you have a similar situation throughout all 67 counties, that means you could have 6,300 people registered to vote and voting who are voting illegally. Remember that big election we had in 2000? There was a little problem about which way Florida went between Al Gore and George W. Bush. That vote was decided by 537 votes. Nah, there's no problem. It's nothing to worry about. Nah, don't worry about it at all. There's no voter fraud. It's all made up. Nothing to worry about. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board the program. 855-400-SAVAGE. We were talking a lot about President Obama and his powers last hour. We've got Roy at KBOI who wants to get in with that. Roy, you're on the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. Go right ahead. Hey, Roy.
Hi.
Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, okay. I called in last hour, and I was going to talk about the president being not the king and all that stuff. And I think you started picking up on that before I was put on hold. Yeah, but we can start there. And I've got other comments about everything you've been talking about too. You know, the president is not the king. He does not make the final decisions. He doesn't make law, and he is supposed to be responsible to us.
Right, I agree. I just wish that was true all the time. The problem is he tells us he's got a pen, and he keeps going around Congress, and Congress keeps letting him. That's the problem. And the other problem is half of America seems to think he should be the king. And unfortunately, we've got more and more people really thinking that every problem in the country needs to be solved by the federal government, and the guy to do it is the president. And that's a huge problem. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for the doctor. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. SwissAmerica.com.
Hey, my name is Greg Knapp, in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. We were talking about Kansas and Arizona winning with a federal judge saying, yeah, the states have the right to say you must be a United States citizen in order to register to vote. They have the right to do that. And it makes perfect sense, because if you're not a citizen, you're not supposed to be doing it. And we have found people on the rolls who aren't. Doug, KCMO, wants to jump in on this. Doug, welcome to the Savage Nation. I'm Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Yeah, my question is, since they've got these guys that have served jury duty without being citizens, now how many of these cases, and especially if they were sentenced to prison, how many of these cases could be overturned or even thrown out for a mistrial?
That's a good question, Doug. Thanks for the call. Well, the ones that we talked about in Florida, though, they had actually checked that they were not U.S. citizens to avoid jury duty, and that's how they cross-referenced that with the voter ID rolls to see that they had been registered to vote and that they had voted. But your point still is there that what if they didn't check I'm not a U.S. citizen and went to jury duty? Now you got people on jury duty who aren't supposed to be on jury duty. It just keeps going. But no, it's not a problem. It's just these awful, evil conservatives who want to stop brown people from voting. Let's go to Kurt in WBAP. Kurt, you're on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
Yeah, that was an interesting inverse relation that he just proposed. What about people that said they were a citizen and then some guy got pronounced guilty and now his lawyer finds out? Now he comes back to the court and says, retrial, you had
exactly.
A citizen find my client guilty. I tell you what, if you can't prove you're a citizen, you don't get to vote. And that's the way it should be. I've been showing my ID in Texas before it came law, and I remember the ladies would always say, you don't have to show your ID, and my wife would start to put hers back away. I say, no, we prove we're citizens when we vote.
Amen. Anyway. And you were talking about, I think you had told the call screener, you're reminding us about Al Franken. He only won by a couple hundred votes.
You know, 34 or something like that comes.
Yeah, we had a couple governors that barely won by a couple hundred votes. Thanks, Kurt. I appreciate it. We're losing your cell phone signal there, but yeah, I mean, this is a real thing, and we don't know. Here's the other part: you don't know how many people are registered to vote who shouldn't be, because we don't really track it. And if nobody complains, then there's no case. So if I registered illegally and I go down and vote, and I could be voting for years and nobody would know. We have no idea how much voter fraud is going on, and that's the point. Who was it? Was it Stalin that said, you know, you go ahead and take the votes. As long as I get to count them, we'll see what happens. Paraphrasing, of course. My name's Greg Knapp, in for Savage. The Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Michael Savage.
The American people are sitting like a bunch of schmucks watching a dictatorship emerge in front of their eyes.
Weekdays, noon till 3.
Hey, how you doing? 60. My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Michael Savage here on the Savage Nation, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE, and michaelsavage.com. The World Trade Center, the new one, is being built. The new World Trade Center building. It's got to be secure, right? I mean, you think about what happened on 9/11, and we're never going to let anything like that happen again. This is a brand new building we're working on, right? Well, according to the USA Today, a New Jersey teenager, Justin Cascuejo, 16 years old, showed up at the World Trade Center construction site at about 4:10 in the morning, crawled through a 12-by-12-inch hole in the exterior fence, climbed the scaffolding, gained access to the interior of the building, got into the elevator that took him from the 6th floor to the 88th floor, got out there, climbed the stairs to the 104th floor, and then climbed a ladder all the way up to the antenna at the very, very top of the building. And nobody stopped him. Whoops. Well, you know, look, these things happen. It's not like he was going to blow it up or anything. I mean, come on, you know. The teen evaded an inattentive guard who has since been fired on the 104th floor. The teen's motive is under investigation. They did notice he seemed to be using his cell phone to take photos. And this kid was probably trying to see if he could climb to the top of the World Trade Center, videotape it, put it up on YouTube and Twitter, and become some kind of a hero. Port Authority police did arrest him inside the skyscraper. Misdemeanor charges, one count of criminal trespass in the third degree, one count of trespass. He was released on his own recognizance. Well, nothing to worry about here. Move along, nothing to see. It's not like there's still terrorism going on in the world. And Al-Qaeda has out its new spring edition of Inspire magazine. I mean, what else could you have for spring? Today was the first official day of spring. The birds are chirping. The flowers are blooming, you know, unless you're in the Northeast. And, well, Al-Qaeda's putting out its new Inspire magazine. This is the magazine that told people how to make pressure cooker bombs last year just in time for the Boston Marathon. Now they want you to make the car bomb. Be inspired. The magazine's spring issue urges jihadists everywhere to target heavily populated events. As for the field target for the car bomb, you have places flooded with individuals, sports events in which tens of thousands attend, election campaigns, festivals, and other gatherings. The important thing is that you target people and not buildings. Choosing the time and place is a crucial factor to success in any operation, said the magazine. Choose targets in your own country. You know the enemy better. You are within. Great. And I love this. My Muslim brother. Before you start reading these instructions, remember, this type of operation, if prepared well, and an appropriate target is chosen, and Allah decrees success for you, history will never forget it. Man, that's a lot of stuff I got to remember. Wait a second. Prepared well, appropriate target, Allah decrees success. I need all that? This is getting harder than I thought. Hey, March Madness is on. Squirrel! I don't know. Is anybody going to do this? Do you really think? No, there's two ways to look at this kind of stuff. On the Inspire website and the Inspire magazine, right? It says, many Faisal Shahzads are residing inside America, and all they need is the knowledge on how to make car bombs. They are all yearning to fulfill their duty of jihad. The American government was unable to protect its citizens from pressure cooker bombs and backpacks. I wonder if they're ready to stop car bombs! And then they give you the step-by-step way to do all this, and they're hoping it's going to happen. There's two ways to look at this. The bad way is, holy crap, they're giving out all kinds of information that is easily accessible now on the web. Maybe these people get the magazine, they see how to do it, they go out and they make the bomb. Awful. The good way to look at it, though, is this. This Inspire magazine has been out for a long time now, and every once in a while, some crazy dude in America tries something. And only a couple times have they succeeded since 9/11. So either there aren't very many of these people in America who are willing to do this, or we've been pretty good at stopping them. I mean, really, when you think about it, since 9/11, you've had a handful of things that were semi-successful. The biggest one that was successful was the Boston Marathon bombing. I mean, I don't know about you, I thought after 9/11 we were going to have a lot more of these than we have had, because we still are a very open and free society, and it's hard to protect everything. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE and you're in. We were talking about this vote fraud stuff that Kansas and Arizona just had a huge victory in saying the states have the right to require you to prove you're a citizen in order to register to vote. Let me get Wendy in, WABC. Wendy, you're on the Savage Nation. I'm in for the doctor. Go right ahead. Wendy. Go ahead, Wendy.
I'm here.
Go ahead.
Okay, listen. I want to say that we have a very serious issue, because statistically, for every one person that they find that is voting illegally, there's another 10 that we don't know about. So that would be 6,300 times 10, if my math serves me correctly, what, 630,000?
Could be. I mean, you're referring to what happened in Florida, and they extrapolated out the people that they absolutely found who admitted they were illegally registered to vote. And extrapolating it through the entire state, they said there'd be like 6,300. I don't know if you can quite say the 1 to 10 ratio there, because these are people who wouldn't have been caught except for what this TV station is doing. But your point is well taken, that we have no idea how many there are. You know, in Colorado, they had over 16,000 people who were legally registered to vote. And just one check that they did. And this is the kind of stuff that you just don't know, because we don't even really study it. Let me get Dave in at KKOB on this. Dave, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon. I live in a state that gives out illegal driver's license to illegals of all nations, and they don't want to refer to it back and say, no, you can't get a driver's license. The people in this state are less than 3 million people throughout the whole state, yet they give out driver's license to illegals. They do everything that is illegal. I wish I was in Kansas or Missouri. Then they could enforce what they have over there.
Well, you bring up a really good point, Dave, that more and, yeah, thanks for the call. More and more states are saying, yeah, we're going to give illegal aliens licenses, but wait, they're not supposed to be here. Well, yeah, but they're here. So you're going to reward them? Well, we want them to drive legally. Wow. Okay. Does that make any sense to anybody? Let me get Ann in, too, in Oregon. Ann, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Filling in. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon. About the voter registration, I had an image of thumbprints go through my head as you were speaking, and just wanted to run this past you. It seems to me that the voter registration should be done at the voter registration office, that they should need to show proof of on your photo ID, proof of citizenship. Now in Oregon, they just changed the law to renew your driver's license. You need to show your birth certificate, passport, and or Social Security number.
Sounds racist.
It seems that images of in Afghanistan and some of the other countries, when they were finally able to vote, of them proudly holding up their inked finger. Well, some time ago, when you would take a check to the bank, it wouldn't be a big inky mark. It was kind of invisible ink. But when you deposited a check, if it was a certain amount, there you would have to put your thumbprint.
Right.
Check.
Had to do the thumbprint. Yeah, and I understand your point. Thanks for calling. You're saying, why aren't we doing this? Well, guess what? You know where we should look for this? Look south to Mexico, believe it or not. Mexico went this way. Mexico changed their voting where you have to show a photo ID and you have to do your thumb in the ink thing. And guess what? Voting participation in Mexico skyrocketed. And the theory is people in Mexico thought that the vote was rigged because it was. And when they started actually making sure that the people who were voting were allowed to vote and only voted once, they said, hey, now my vote actually counts. I guess I'll go vote. And they had an increase in voting. And I think you might find that's happening here. It already is in the places where they've asked for photo IDs, an increase in the percentage of minority voting. Pretty good. Well, I was giving you that Stalin quote where I just kind of paraphrased it. Well, I looked it up, and the one that they can really source for this is Boris Bazenov's Memoirs of Stalin's Former Secretary, published in 1992, loosely translated, says this, "You know, comrades, that I think in regard to this, I consider it completely unimportant who in party will vote or how. What is extraordinarily important is this, who will count the votes and how." It's been said many different ways, but that's the most accurate one I could get. Yeah, that's kind of the important thing here, don't you think? Let me get Fred in Ohio on. Fred, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
No, you got Frank in Vegas, but Stalin also said one death is a tragedy and a million deaths is a statistic.
Yep.
That was a great book that you just quoted, by the way, and his daughter that talks about what an evil man. But what spurned my call, Greg, was, you know, you asked a very, you know, basic question, and the common sense couldn't be more blatant. But our Fuhrer isn't the great transformer. He is probably one of the greatest demolition experts ever, and his goal is to ultimately put such a wrench in the system. It'll be all the Republicans' horses and all the Republicans' men won't be able to put America back together again.
You know, it's an interesting point. A lot of people believe that his goal is to bring America down, to take it down a peg or two. This is a guy who doesn't like America being the lone superpower in the world. Doesn't think it's right. Wants everything redistributed, including powers around the world. I think there's a lot of people who agree with that now when you've watched what this guy has done. And I'm not counting on the Republicans to put it back together either. Maybe conservatives, maybe patriots, maybe people who really believe in what this country is all about. Some of them are Republicans, some of them are not. Some of them, I think, are just in it for themselves. Wait, let me scratch that. Most of them, I think, are just in it for themselves. And I hate to be that cynical, But is there anybody out there still who has paid attention to this who is not? Let me get Joe in at WMAL. Joe, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
How you doing, doctor?
I'm Greg. The doctor's out, but go right ahead.
All right. I am in favor of a national ID for legal U.S. citizens that would be used for employment purposes and for voting. What do you think about that?
Well, I appreciate the call. I worry. I don't want to give the federal government even more power with a national ID. And you need to do that. You've got your, you know, all the states can do it on their own, like Kansas and Arizona just won in court. I get worried when we put everything into the national level. I like to keep as much to the states as we possibly can, because that's how this thing was supposed to be set up. All right, let me try Fred again. Fred on line 8 in Ohio. Fred, you're on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
Okay. Until we get an American patriotic nationalist as president of
the- out of there. Treason is when you actually get executed, and that's a pretty high bar from what some of these people are doing. Look, I understand getting frustrated and getting upset. I also want to stay grounded in reality, and I don't think that is. The reality is we got to get these people out, and we've got to get the people in who actually care about what the founding documents are about. Are you going to be able to do it in our lifetime? I don't know. You chip away at it slowly. There are a few in there. There are a few of these Tea Party guys that I think actually mean what they say. Because guess what? They've gone there, and then they've actually done what they told you they were going to do. And they're doing it even though the media hates them, and even people in their own party hate them. Ted Cruz ring a bell? I mean, I'm not saying this guy's perfect, but this guy said, I'm going to go there and fight this no matter what, as hard as I can. He did. The Republican establishment hates him. The Democrats hate him. The mainstream media hates him, and he's doing it anyway. That's what you need. And I don't know how many of those there are around there. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE, and you are in tornadoes. Tornadoes are up because of global warming, right? Well, maybe not. I got details on that in just a second. My name is Greg Knapp, in for the doctor on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
My name is Greg Knapp, in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, 855-400-SAVAGE. You know, we're talking about this Inspire magazine by Al-Qaeda, trying to get you to build car bombs. And we had a caller, couldn't hold it. He said, great point. He's like, you know, Greg, one of the problems may be that a lot of people come over to America planning jihad against us. And then they get here, and they're like, wow, this place is kind of cool. This is a nice life. Maybe I don't want to blow myself up. Maybe they're inspired to try to live the American dream. Could be. And the people who really get inspired by this magazine who may do it are the people who are living here, who have lived this sheltered life there and had everything handed to them all their lives and are looking for something to rebel against. Could be. Not a bad point. By the way, when I was talking about this voter ID fraud, voter fraud, Pennsylvania Democrats were caught taking payoffs, and they were asked to oppose voter ID. They were given money. They were given jewelry, and they're caught on audio and videotape taking this stuff. Philadelphia Inquirer reporting it. This has been out there in the news for a couple days now, not getting a whole lot of coverage. Why? Well, because they've dropped the investigation. Pennsylvania Attorney General Kathleen Kane has dropped the investigation that was going on before she took office because she says it was racist. She's a Democrat, and she said it was only black Democrats who were caught doing this. Well, the sting had targeted white Democrats and also Republicans. The only people who were taking the bribes happened to be black Democrats. That doesn't mean that all of them were going to, but that's just the way this thing turned out. But instead, they're dropping the investigation? Wow. That sounds racist to me. My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content,
psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
However, Western capitals, it would seem, continue to feel no shame at this. Backing people who are not ready to listen or heed the views of the whole of the Ukrainian people and who are fully dominated by ultra-radical nationalist organizations of the right sector and the racist, anti-Semitic and xenophobe, according to the European Union's Parliament, Freedom Party. And yet, it is with them that the EU is planning to, in the near future, sign a political component on association.
Well, that's a little bit from the Russian UN ambassador claiming that Ukraine is anti-Semitic and how dare we work with them. It's all part of the big Russian-American fiasco. We're going to get into it here on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for Savage, 855-400-SAVAGE, get you on board, 855-400-SAVAGE. Yeah, boy, what is Obama doing about this? Russia grabbed Crimea, now it might be eyeballing Estonia. But don't worry, Biden's on the job. Did Australia find the missing airliner? We'll get the very latest, but if CNN's Don Lemon is right, no, nobody's going to find it. Wait till you hear what he thinks might have happened. And before the hour's out, the ATF raided a gun store for the customer lists even after the store won a restraining order in court. But don't worry, no, they're not coming to get your guns. Okay, it's all this hour of the Savage Nation, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE, and michaelsavage.com. President Obama had some tough words for President Putin. Let's hear cut eight from President Obama.
The truth is, Mr. Putin acted out of weakness, not out of strength. Ukraine had been run by a government that was a crony of the Kremlin's. And basically, the Ukrainian people said, we've had enough of corruption. We want a different path. They are on course for elections. And Mr. Putin decided that he didn't want Ukrainians to make their own decisions about their own future.
Ah, see, it's out of weakness that he has now annexed Crimea, not out of strength. And see, this is the total disconnect that President Obama, Joe Biden, Western Europe, they have this idea that the way they see the world is the way everybody sees the world. And, you know, obviously we're right. And since we're right, eventually we're going to win. It's just a matter of time before Putin comes to his senses and says, oh, wow, I have acted out of weakness. Oh, wow, I am on the wrong side of history. Oh, wow, what was I thinking? Here, take Crimea back. Hey, you know, better yet, let's just have a new referendum in Russia and see if they want to get rid of me. I mean, you know, wow, what was I thinking? It's like the guy that goes, wow, I could have had a V8. That's Vladimir Putin, right? And Dan Henninger has a great piece in the Wall Street Journal. Jonah Goldberg had a similar piece in National Review Online. And they nail it. They said, look, here's the deal. We now have a situation where Vice President Biden told the Poles in Warsaw that Putin's seizure of Crimea was flawed logic. So, hey, not to worry. And Obama says, you know, don't worry, he's on the wrong side of history. And Western Europe, Angela Merkel says, well, Putin's crazy, he's lost his mind. Here's what they don't get. Putin doesn't care what they think. The solitary but thrilling world of Vladimir Putin's mind, according to Henninger, is the one inhabited by the Assads, Saddams, Bin Ladens, Kims, Gaddafis, Khomeinis of the world. And when it really runs out of control, by Stalin, Hitler, and Mao. So whether one man's grandiosity will burst across borders is not about normal logic. It's about personal power and forcing the obeisance of other nations. You know, sometimes a bad person gains control of the instruments of national power, and their populations can't or don't do anything about it because they're disarmed by thugs with overwhelming firepower, or they're misled by unbelievable propaganda. And today, even second-rate megalomaniacs gain access to high-tech weaponry, including missiles and nuclear bombs. The strong men win because for them it's easier. They don't have to lead their people. They coerce them. He's right. He's dead on right. Now, I know we've talked about this before, and you may believe, hey, listen, Ukraine used to be part of Russia. It needs to be part of Russia again. Whether you agree with that or not, if you're looking at what's going on here with Putin playing Obama like a Stratovarius, do you not think there's going to be repercussions further down the line? I don't want us to get into a war. No. I don't want us to go crazy on this. No. But here's President Obama trying to tell us how super important it is. This thing is huge. We got to get in here. We got to put sanctions on him. He just increased the sanctions now. It's not just seven people. It's 20 people. And now it's maybe some of the banks. And, hey, he's got a super secret weapon that he may even have even more sanctions if they don't listen to what he's saying. This is so important that he's stopped everything. Well, almost everything. Let's hear clip 11 from President Obama.
So you got Kansas versus Ohio State. Who wins?
I'm going to put Kansas down here.
I think Wiggins stepped up for many of the games when Embiid was out. And my expectation is at least by this round, Embiid will be enough of a factor that it'll be tough for Ohio State to keep up with him.
Yeah. I mean, it's so important that Obama's still picking out his Sweet 16 bracket on ESPN. And he knows the names of the players. He knows the names of the coaches. He knows more about basketball than some of the people that are on the team. This guy, when does he have time to actually do what he's supposed to be doing? Are you kidding? And so then the ramifications come. Like I said, I don't want war. I'm not a chicken hawk. I don't want to jump in here and start. But what you don't do is say it's super important and then send the message to Vladimir Putin that it's not because you send Joe Biden over. And you... People think, no, when you send the vice president, that means it's a big thing. No, not this one. No. I think it might actually send the opposite message. Oh, he sent Biden. It's not really important. And then he goes on and he does his bracket. He's on with Zach Galifianakis on some web thing. He brings YouTube influencers in to talk at the White House. He's doing everything except really what you're supposed to be doing as the president. And can't figure out why people aren't being... taking him seriously. This is what we're working on now. You got to be kidding. So what happens next if you don't think this is a big thing? Does anything happen next? Does China go for Taiwan? Does Iran go even faster towards its nukes? Is Estonia next? Well, Moscow did say the same kind of thing it said about Ukraine. There are ethnic Russians in Estonia that aren't being treated very well by the Estonian government. And we're watching that very closely. Mm-hmm. So does it matter to you? And is this being handled correctly by the Obama White House? Is there something you can do without going to war that actually would do something beyond these sanctions that he's talking about? Well, listen to President Obama here on clip 7 saying what we won't do in Russia.
We are not going to be getting into a military excursion in Ukraine. What we are going to do is mobilize all of our diplomatic resources to make sure that we've got a strong international coalition that sends a clear message, which is the Ukraine should decide their own destiny.
Yeah, well, there you go. Like I said, I don't want to go to war either, but do you actually tell Obama, hey, by the way, Obama, don't worry, we're not going to go to war over any of this. just want to make sure we're clear on that, all right? Oh, yeah, that's great. That's going to help. And, hey, he's got the international community that he's working with. Who gives a rat's about the international community? Do you think Putin cares right now about the international community? Putin goes, all right, that's fine. I got China on my side. I got Iran on my side. We can work with North Korea. We can work with a bunch of these other countries. Europe needs me. They're not going to be able to wait too long because they need our energy. And, I think we're going to be pretty good here. We're doing all right. He doesn't care. And he's laughing at him. Let me get Reno in. WDRC. Reno, you are on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Let's not get hysterical. The United States is the most powerful nation in the earth here. We're getting hysterical.
Who's getting hysterical?
We are. that by your comments we are. You think we are hysterical. We're not. We're powerful. We can beat Russia anytime.
So why aren't we then?
What?
So why haven't we then?
We don't want a war.
No. I'm talking about a war. There's other power besides a war. I don't want to be in a war. But when you say we could beat Russia any time, that's not true because Russia's beating us right now. So if we could beat them any time, then we would. It is hysterical. You're right. It's funny. It's funny how this president believes that, quote, soft power, diplomacy, the international norms and the international community is what will rule the day. And Putin's over there laughing his ass off. Like, what are you talking? You have your smart power. I'm going to roll in with tanks. We'll see who takes Ukraine. We'll see who takes Estonia. Thanks for the call. That's what's hysterical. Now, like I said, I don't want to get into a war over this at all. But if you were really serious about it, the sanctions would include all Russians, all Russian companies, all Russian assets. That we would be giving weapons to the Ukrainians right now to arm themselves to really fight this thing. We would be putting missiles back in Poland and in the former Czech republics. We would be booting Russia out of the IMF. They've talked about the G8. There's so many things you could do that have nothing to do with actually getting into a shooting war that we could do if we were serious about it. So my point is simply this. If you're going to tell me this is the huge, huge deal that President Obama keeps telling you it is, number one, explain to me why I should care as an American, not as somebody from the international community, because I'm not an international citizen. I'm not a world citizen. I'm a citizen of the United States of America, and you know what I care about the most? America.
Well, that's not the way enlightened people look at these things. I mean, and I thought you were a Christian. Isn't all life sacred to you?
Yes! Oh, no! All human life is sacred. In the eyes of God, we're all equal. I'm not God. And I don't claim to be like some people do. I actually am a human being, and yes, I think all human beings have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, but I'm not in charge of all those human beings. And the other part is, I live in the United States of America, and I want the best thing for our country. And guess what? That's what the leader of every country is supposed to want, the best for their country, not for the international community. And as much as they say that's what they care about, no. Everything they say they care about, forget it. What they really care about is their own country. And until we start acting like it, we're going to keep getting rolled. I don't know about you. I'm a little tired of getting rolled. Let me get Brad in. WBOB Jacksonville. Brad, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I had a couple of quick comments, if I may. I wanted to ask you if you are curious about how Iran is doing in their nuclear program at this time. I noticed the mainstream media hasn't been covering it very much at all.
They're rolling right along from something I saw yesterday. They're actually speeding up some of the process.
I'm sure they are. If I'm not mistaken, I believe back in like 1994 or 95, William Jefferson, Blythe Clinton, Bill Clinton, our president sitting at the time, had actually given North Korea and Iran nuclear power plants to produce electricity for their citizens. And back then I was telling everybody they're going to use the spent fuel rods and refine them down to weapons-grade materials, and nobody would listen.
Yeah, well, they're all the deals we've done with North Korea, they've cheated on. We usually have given them oil. Well, I'd have to go back and look on the whole nuclear power plant thing. We've given them oil, you know, to help them out. And then we find out they've been cheating on the deal time and time and time again.
Yeah.
We keep getting rolled. And that's happened under numerous presidents. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board the program. 855-400-SAVAGE. We'll take your calls. And I'm also going to get you into what's going on with the missing airliner. Did Australia find it? Well, not if CNN's Don Lemon's right. We'll get you the details coming up. My name's Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. 855-400-SAVAGE. So now President Obama says, we're cracking down. We're increasing the sanctions on Russia because, you know, they're violating all these international norms and international laws and even treaties that they've signed in Ukraine. So he said, I signed a new executive order today. It gives us authority to impose sanctions, not just on individuals, but on key sectors of the Russian economy. But he wouldn't elaborate on which ones would be targeted. He said this is not our preferred outcome. These sanctions would not only have a significant impact on the Russian economy, but also be disruptive to the global economy. And they listed 20 individuals and the bank Rossiya as targets of the additional sanctions, in addition to the 7 Russians already named. Man, he's cracking down now. And then Russia said, oh, yeah? Well, we're going to put sanctions on some of your senators, including Senator McCain. And is this going to do anything? Let me talk to Dean, Florida, WFTL. You are on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knappen for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Yeah, it's ludicrous and naive to believe that we can threaten Russia. They lost millions and millions of people in the Second War. The smartest military leader in the 1800s couldn't subdue them. The best organized country in the world in the 40s couldn't subdue them. They're a hardy, resilient people and country. They have the military and resources, means to do it.
And well, here's the thing, Dean, and I appreciate the call, and I think you're right, and that's one of the reasons you want to get into any kind of a war, but you do want them to pay a price if they're breaking the law, taking over a sovereign nation, because what will happen next? It's all about, do you nip something in the bud, or do you allow it to go out of control like we did before World War One and World War Two? That's a good question. And how do you do it? There needs to at least be a price, doesn't there? Remember, the way you won the Cold War without firing a shot was it's the economy, stupid. And do all the people in Russia really want this to continue? Or are they just being told some very interesting things? My name is Greg Knapp, in for Savage, Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Savage on the Savage Nation. You can jump in. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. And there's a few more things I want to get to before we run out of time. One of them is the update on what's going on with the missing Malaysian airliner. And, you know, now we've got the Aussies saying that their satellite has spotted possible debris. I'm sure you've heard that today. About 1,500 miles southwest of Perth in Australia. The problem is the Indian Ocean is huge. And even though they've got the satellite data and a couple of these pieces they think are 75 to 80 feet long, the weather's bad. It's huge area to search, and they're still not sure they're going to find it. And if they do find it, they're still not sure that it's actually going to be from this airliner. But at least it's something. It's a possible lead. And, of course, they're tracking it down as much as they can, and good for them. But then, you know, really, they're probably just wasting their time. Because what they need to do is watch CNN. Have you been watching CNN? Oh, CNN is all over this story. CNN is making sure that this is CNN, the most trusted name in news. Right, the most trusted name in news. So they got Don Lemon out there telling you that it could be something supernatural. I mean, you know, you just never know. And now, let me hear clip 16 from Don Lemon. He has another new theory. Listen to this.
A lot of people have been asking about black holes and on and on and on and all of these conspiracy theories. Let's look at this. Noah says, what else can you think about? Black hole, Bermuda Triangle. And then Deji says, huh, just like the movie Lost. And of course, they're also referencing the Twilight Zone, which is a very similar plot. That's what people are saying. I know it's preposterous, but is it preposterous, you think, Mary?
Oh, no, he didn't. Oh, yes, he did. Wait, okay, so first of all, news on CNN now is reading crazy people's questions from Twitter. That counts as news now on CNN. And then, does the man even understand what he's saying? Is he listening to himself? So I know this is preposterous, but is it preposterous? Yes, you just said it was. Well, I know, but is it? No, wait a second. Just because you say it is and then it isn't doesn't mean that that makes sense. It's kind of like the guy that says, listen, with all due respect, you're a bleep hole. You know, just because you say all due respect doesn't mean you can say whatever you want to. Pretty sure it does. That's a movie, quick. So he's out there saying, I know it's preposterous, but is it really? And he asked Mary Schiavo to talk about that, former Inspector General for the U.S. Department of Transportation. And you can see she's pretty much gobsmacked here and is like, wait, was that a real question? Listen to this, cut 17.
Well, it is a black hole. It's about, you know, a small black hole would suck in our entire universe. So we know it's not that. Bermuda Triangle is often weather. And Lost is a TV show. So right. I think I always like things for which there's data.
Yeah, that might be a good idea. Let's actually get some scientific data. That might be kind of important. And even Mary Schiavo blew it. Well, you know, if it was a even a small black hole, it would suck up the entire universe. Okay, wait a second. If there are black holes, then wouldn't the universe be sucked up by now? That doesn't even make any sense. What is she talking about? The universe is still expanding, if you believe most physicists, not contracting. So if there are black holes, they're sucking in stuff around them, and the gravitational field is so intense that even light can't escape. But it's not sucking in the entire universe because the universe is expanding. Although I saw Stephen Hawking, I think it was a month ago, Stephen Hawking now is positing the theory that there is no such thing as a black hole. But, you know, he wasn't on Don Lemon's show. So this is the kind of stuff they're talking about. I had a guy tell me the other day, Greg, I think I know what happened. I think what happened was a big alien ship came down, hit this airliner with a tractor beam, opened up, sucked the plane into the ship, and then took off. And then he said this to me. I kid you not. Greg, no one has been able to prove me wrong yet. Well, yeah, and I guess you can't prove me wrong that I made it disappear or that David Copperfield made it disappear. I mean, yeah, you can't disprove something that's totally crazy because you'd have to have, I mean, how can you disprove something that is, you can't prove that it did happen, you can't prove that it didn't happen. Maybe we ought to just tap the brakes a little bit on all this. What do you think? Maybe we'll find it in the waters off the coast of Australia. Maybe we won't find it there, but to say that it's a black hole or like the TV show Lost, or maybe he flew through a wormhole, or maybe an alien picked it up, or come on. This counts as news now on the network news outlets? CNN, you sunk to a new low. I know you're trying to get ratings and you've been in trouble, but maybe get ratings by telling compelling news stories in compelling ways. Maybe that could do it. No, we got to get Don Lemon asking us about a black hole. Well, on the other side of this, we've got Washington CBS News, their local affiliate, talking to Rick Matthews, the National Center for Security and Preparedness at the Rockefeller College of Public Affairs and Policy of SUNY Albany. Man, that's a mouthful. And he said his theory is this. The missing flight is being held for ransom by a group of individuals, maybe including people from the flight crew, and they're about ready to go public. Says you want to be most likely hide the plane so that it will not be seen and get these people away from there. You want a place to prove life, confirm the fact that they're alive without giving away their location. He thinks it's an internal hijacking that might have been perpetrated by one or more members of the crew. He thinks they'll go public any time now because the weight of the world and the governments will be on them. And if they're ransoming, they want people to get away, and they're not doing this as a suicidal ploy. They want to make sure they have a place for themselves to go. And whoever took the plane already had an airstrip prepared to land and camouflage so it wouldn't be caught by satellites. It takes a great deal of coordination to do this. They had to have knowledge on how to disable certain things in the plane, make it appear to be normal and fly it relatively undetected, and nobody in real time would notice that this was an issue. That sounds like a stretch, too. Why would they wait this long if it was for ransom? Right? I mean, if it was for ransom, would you really need to wait, what's it been now, 11, 12 days? Would you need to wait that long? I don't think you need to wait that long for something like that. I still think it's either crashed or it is a terror hijacking, and they're waiting to do the rest of the terrorism. I don't see any other theory that really makes any sense whatsoever. What do you think? 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. And the last story I want to make sure we get to today. This has been reported a little bit in local news. It hasn't really been reported much in the mainstream news. And it's a story about the guns in San Diego. I don't know if you've seen this, but what happened was there was a gun store in San Diego that is selling what they call the, let me make sure I get the exact phraseology right so I'm not in trouble here, the 80% lower receivers. And I went and watched some of these videos on the web, because you can buy this stuff on the web. 80% polymer lower receiver. And it's basically this part that you would use to make a gun, to make it so that your semi-automatic rifle could be an AR-15, and you could load in the large magazines and put it on the semi-automatic mode so as quickly as you pull the trigger, it can fire. And especially if you live in a place that has banned the sale of AR-15s, the ATF still says it's legal for you to make your own weapon for your own personal use. Not to sell or distribute, but for your own personal use. So there's this store in San Diego. And this guy owns about four different stores. It's Ayers Armor. And he's been selling these 80% lower receivers. Now, according to the law, building a rifle with the specific versions of the 80% receivers is legal. But the ATF is trying to say these polymer ones, they're different. Because making a firearm with them is illegal, so selling this is illegal. So they called them up, and they said, we want the list of your customers. He said, I'm not giving you a list of my customers. And they said, according to him, oh, don't worry, we're not going to tell anybody that you gave them to us. Just give them to us. We'll keep it quiet. He said, no, no way. In fact, he went to the courts, and he got a restraining order. He was granted a temporary restraining order by a judge to stop the ATF from searching his stores. And he said, I went and put all the polymers. They told me they don't want me selling this anymore. They think it's illegal, even though I think they're wrong. So I went and I took all my polymer lower receivers, and I put them and locked them in a locker. Not selling anymore. And yet the ATF came in with a warrant, even though I had a restraining order from a judge. They raided my stores. They took the polymer lowers, but they also took my customer list. Now think about that for a second. I don't care whether you believe in the Second Amendment or not. I happen to believe in it. I happen to own guns and think that it's very important for an American citizen to have the right to bear arms, to protect themselves, their family, from danger and from, yes, our own government. I mean, that's why they wrote it. That's radical. That's crazy talk. Our founders were radicals. And they knew there was a reason for this. And I happen to believe in it. Now, I don't think, I'm not talking about being part of an armed revolution or anything. I'm talking about just defending my family and defending our way of life. And I think we have a right to be prepared to do that. And when people like me are on the radio say, you know, the problem is there are people, a lot of people in the federal government and a lot of people on the far left that really don't think you have the right to own a gun. My brother's one of them. My brother thinks only police officers and military people should own a gun. Thinks I should have no right to own a gun. And he's a lawyer who studied constitutional law. He goes, I don't care. He thinks it'll help crime. He's wrong. Dead wrong. In so many ways. But there are lots of people like my brother who think that. And when people like me say, you know what the other problem is here? The people who really want to take the guns away from you, most of them won't admit it publicly. Oh, you're crazy. That's just a conspiracy theory. And yes, they want a gun registry. Oh, that's so crazy, a gun registry. But then there are people on the left that will admit it. Yeah, we don't think anybody should have guns except the police and the military. And yes, we think there should be a gun registry. And yes, we think we should be able to come take your guns if we think that you don't deserve them anymore. Well, we already have a gun registry. See, the federal gun dealers have to keep records on who their customers are. They keep those records. And the ATF has the right to come in and look at those records anytime they want to. And they can also seize those records like they just did. And so now these people who are customers of these stores are wondering when the door is going to knock and the ATF agent's going to say, I need to see your guns. But remember, you know, people who say that kind of stuff are crazy. It's happening. It's happening right now. How in the world was the ATF able to get a warrant when this guy already had a restraining order from the judge? There's not even a law that says this is illegal. This is the way the ATF is interpreting this law. In fact, the law from the federal government actually says you do have the right to make your own gun with these lower receivers. And yet they still went in there. And they still were able to get the customer lists from this gun store. But remember, people like me talking to you on the radio, we're just crazy. Yeah, we're just trying to stir you up. We're just entertainers. That's all it is. I mean, you can't listen to us. We're crazy. We're the kind of people that told you that Obama was lying about if you want your doctor, you can keep your doctor. I mean, and you all found out who was telling the truth about... Oh, wait. All right. Well, yeah. Well, those guys are crazy. Those guys on talk radio, they're just crazy. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. My name's Greg Knapp. In for the doctor. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE, get you on board the program, michaelsavage.com, online. Did you see this? Starbucks, about to have another offering. They're talking about not just the $5 cup of coffee. No, now... you might be able to pay $10 for a nice glass of Malbec and some bacon-wrapped dates. So Starbucks is going to start selling booze. All right, this shows how uncouth I am. I'm not really sure what Malbec is. Is that a type of wine? Anyone? The COO recently revealed that the coffee chain has been testing its evening alcohol and light bites menu in select locations. We'll be expanding to thousands of stores. It's a program that works, they said. As we bring the evening program to stores, there's a meaningful increase in sales during that time of day. I might finally have a reason to go to Starbucks if I can figure out what Malbec is. I mean, I've never had a coffee there because I don't drink coffee, but maybe I've got a reason to go now. All right, let me talk to you. We've been talking about a lot of stuff here. We've been talking about Ukraine. We've been talking about Russia. We've been talking about voting illegally and Kansas and Arizona winning their case in federal court saying you have to prove you're a citizen to be a voter. Steve wants to chime in on that. WBAP Texas. Steve, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor.
Hey, Greg. Thanks for taking my call. I've got a confession to make. I was convicted of a felony about 25 years ago, and so I never voted in my entire life. And I didn't vote for Obama on the first election, but when it came around to the second election, I thought, you know, I gotta do something here, you know, and so I voted. But this is where it gets really diabolical, is that I didn't vote Democrat, I voted conservative Republican.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, Steve, so in Texas, convicted felons still are not allowed to vote, right?
As far as I know, I don't know if there's a...
So how did you get registered and how did you vote then?
My wife, you know, was registering to vote and I, you know, asked them for a card and I registered and they, you know, I kind of expected some fallback from that, but it never happened.
Got you. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it. So, no, but remember now, that's not a problem. Now, I don't care whether you're voting conservative or liberal or Republican or Democrat. If you're not legally allowed to vote, you shouldn't be doing it. Yes, we need to make sure that it's one legal vote per person or you're destroying the whole process. So, Steve, stop it. Don't do it. And the rest of America, let us make sure the right people are voting.
Seven.
The best damn morning show, period.
You've heard of mad cow disease? We're going to get mad donkey disease. Wait.
Mad ass disease?
Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. The icon of the Democrat Party, the ass. We're going to have mad ass disease.
Weekday mornings at 5 on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.